Good morning, everybody. Okay, I see one person joining us. That's good. I'm just kidding. All right. My name is Jenny Chen. I am the founder and CEO of 3D Heels. We've been here for many times for those who join us regularly. We founded 3D Heels about 6 years ago with the main intention to, you know, further educate people in all sorts of healthcare 3D printing related topics. Connect people. You know, we used to have in-person network. We hope to reorganize some of these and also virtually as well. And then finally, we also help startups with fundraising. We have a program called Pitch 3D, where companies can, we help startups, early stage startups, connecting to institutional investors. So people cannot hear me.
Well, they're not hearing because they are in the backstage. I have to move to webinar to hear you. I just figured that out.
That does not make any sense. We should be.
No, we can hear in the webinar, but
really? Backstage. That's interesting.
I thought that too, but I don't know.
Yeah, we are supposed to hear the speakers when you're in backstage, but. Anyways, we have a pretty exciting topic today. Let's just keep on going. There's always technological, you know, either it's Zoom's problem or my problem or our problem, who knows? Anyhow, but I'm pretty sure, you know, audience, okay, I've got a lot of messages in the chat box here. So the audience, if you cannot hear me or us, please just put it in the chat box so we all know like there's some problem, because obviously, this is not an in-person event, we have to adjust. So we have a pretty exciting topic today, which is dental 3D printing is a huge category, obviously, but there are a lot of things that went on in the last couple of years that I think really, you know, we need an update and we need to address. We have the pandemic, which really changed the dental practice a lot. And we have an economy that the macros are not favorable extremely. For innovation. So we're here today, a very interesting moment to hear the experts from all over the world. Really, I'm really impressed that the composition of this panel is very interesting. And it has the perfect academia, entrepreneur, clinicians, and large industry representative here today. So we have a very comprehensive view and discussion. And I never know what people are gonna talk about, to be honest. And it's almost like a chemistry experiment, and you kind of see like what happened in a live event, along with the audience questions and discussions. I always find it very enjoyable, educational, and exciting, and I can always learn some insight from it. So I hope you enjoyed the event today as well. Now, before we start, I want to thank our sponsor, HP, who has been our sponsor for the last couple of years for this virtual platform. So a shout out to them, because without them, we can't have this kind of events running all year long. And also for the people who are joining in, please put your name, where you're from, what you're looking for in the chat box so that we can get to know you better. And also I mentioned in the lobby is that you could, you know, complete your event, Zoom event profile. So you can put your picture, your social media link on it. And so it can be a replacement business card really. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our first speaker is Dr. Gita Raku. She received part of her education in the US and also part in Greece, but she is practicing in Greece right now. But she's also an educator and a mother of three. And she has very innovative way of updating her practice as an orthodontist. So I'm very happy to have her to give us some practical advice. I'll let you take it over.
Thank you very much, Jane. And let me share my screen first. All right. So just to make sure, you can see my screen, right?
Yep.
Great. Yes. So thank you very much for the verification, and thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure and an honor to be speaking. And I've been learning so much following your 3D Heels webinars. So we're going to discuss about orthodontics and innovations of 3D printing in my field. So as you have said, just to jump ahead and just introduce myself in a very few words. So I was born and raised in Greece. My hometown, Katerinis, the small star here, close to Mount Olympus. I studied in the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki, which is right here, second city in the north in Macedonia, the northern part of Greece. Then on to the US, Eastman Dental Center, and the University of Rochester. I did my ortho training there. And after completing my specialty, I came back to Greece, did my PhD in orthodontics, and I had two practices in Katerina and Litohora. As you said, I have three daughters. So kind of a busy life, but we try to enjoy you know, our environment. And Mount Olympus is the highest mountain in Greece. I'll be more than happy to show anyone around. So not only discussing about science, but also, you know, life in general. But let's jump to our subject. So I come, as we said, from the orthodontic field, and mostly fixed orthodontic appliances are the mainstream. So whoever had braces, you know, Nemo and headgear and stuff like that, it's as I said, the norm, but things are changing and we're moving into the digital era and into treatment with removable appliances, mainly aligners. And 3D printing, which is our main subject here, surprisingly, still is not part of the educational curriculum in all universities. So pretty much I've been learning from other colleagues, reading stuff, actually joining different groups on the internet. And it has been a very exciting journey going into the digital dentistry and using software to be able to move teeth actually on screen and then having to apply that in our clinical world. So CAD/CAM, the design and the manufacturing process using computers has been integrated into my office. I would say more than a decade ago, 3D printing is our most recent tool that we have been using. Otherwise we wouldn't be able to be producing and manufacturing aligners in office. So as we will discuss later on, there is a big opportunity for kind of smaller practices to be able to be the you know, point of design and manufacturing. And again, for the benefit of the patients, remotely monitoring them. So I have patients abroad, I have patients in different cities. And if it wasn't for digital dentistry and 3D printing, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I'm leaving last the social repercussions, because as Jenny said, we have been through the pandemic, but Greece has been through, unfortunately, an economic crisis for more than 10 years. So it was the fiscal crisis, then the pandemic came, and then the Ukrainian war came. So we're under stress for, let's say, I would say since 2011. And I'm dealing with a population of people that are striving. There is unpredictability of the future, but still I have an obligation as a scientist and a doctor in the medical field to provide the best treatment possible, but also to make it affordable. So digital orthodontics has helped me a lot doing that. Just a few words about how we can use aligners and what the advantages are for people that are not familiar with that modality. So we have individualized treatment plans, as I'll briefly share. So for every patient, different aligners, a series of aligners is being manufactured to move teeth from one stage to the other. It's not like braces that they have to come every month. It's very aesthetic, so it's a very good practice for adults or for teenagers that are kind of, you know, more self-conscious. It can fit into the kind of hectic lifestyle easier. We have no emergencies, which is very good for the practice and also for the patients. And I can communicate my treatment plan with other doctors because it's digital. But a disruption happened in the orthodontic field with you know, big manufacturers joining in, and a mass production of aligners, and also DIYs, do-it-yourself orthodontics, meaning that people, especially in the US mainly, could go, let's say, to maybe the mall and have their teeth scanned and have their aligners mailed at home without actually being clinically seen by a specialist, a health specialist, an orthodontist, which to me is very, very surprising. And it's also another factor to consider if you want to keep up with, let's say, a small practice, not having to be forced to join, let's say, big practices to be competitive. And so that's why we have a lot of literature going on in the orthodontic field talking about 3D printing. And actually, this is one of the latest issues of the Seminar in Orthodontics. It's one of the most renowned journals. And I was honored to be invited to write an article with colleagues like Dr. Khosravi and Dr. Salazar on the essential factors in developing an efficient in-office aligner system using, obviously, 3D printing. So you can see this is a whole issue, journal issue, that was devoted to 3D printing. So in order for a clinician to be able to actually manufacture the aligners in-office, or as we say, in-house, we have to have different factors. So first of all, you need to acquire the data. So as I will show you, you need to have a digital scan, a digital scanner, so we can scan the patient's mouth. We cannot take impressions. We cannot pour the stone models that we used to use back in my specialty. We need to use specialized software. And I have seen all the esteemed colleagues and speakers that are going to follow up are going to discuss more on that. So we need to have the scanner, the software. Then obviously we need to have the manufacturing process. So for sure, a 3D printer, a thermoforming machine to make the actual aligner. We have to choose the aligner material, and then we have to trim the aligner and deliver it to the patient. So this is a non-professional video we took a couple of days ago with my assistants, one scanning the other. So that's the scanner that we have. So pretty much taking a lot of pictures per minute. It's very detailed, and you can see live on the screen. That's kind of fun for the kids to watch their teeth appearing on the screen. So we acquire the scan, that's the lower, and obviously we're going to have the upper arch, but for, due to time restrictions, I'm not going to show the whole process. So we take upper and lower, and then we upload it to the software. I have to digitally move teeth because that's the whole science, right? You have to still be, applying the orthodontic principles to move teeth. And then we go to the manufacturing part. So we acquired our first 3D printer about, I would say, seven years ago. And there are different kinds of printers. So there's one that can be optimized for dentistry. So it's a good for a person who is not very familiar with that technology. It's kind of a plug and play. And you have also the post-processing, the wash and cure stations that are, you know, part of the whole package. So we started with such a printer, and now we're using non-dental 3D printer, which is more cost-effective, but it does need a little bit of calibration and obviously more experience using it. But you can use any printer pretty much. You don't need a specialized printer. Speed is an issue, and as with other technological innovations, I'm very, very happy to see that new printers coming out. Speed is much, much better than our initial one that we maybe had it to print the actual cast during the night. Troubleshooting might be an issue if you're not using a specialized printer, but also in Greece, but not only in Greece, we also have to consider the cost of consumables, of disposables. As I said, we are planning on using all that new technology for patients to be able to afford it. Now, learning curve, if you're technologically savvy, it's not that, acute, but, we have to invest time and money whenever we're doing something good, but that's the thrill, right? We don't want to be stagnant. Have good after-sales support. And obviously, as I said, I'm mentioning social media because I'm very, very grateful to people around the world that are sharing information on 3D printing, like how we're doing right now. So the final result of the 3D printer is this. We are call that the orthodontic model. So it's a resin printed model. We use an SLA printer to print it. So our largest printer so far has a big platform. We can pretty much print about 50 to 55 models in about 3 hours, which is pretty good because initially we were able to print like 6 in 8 hours. So very, very happy about that. After we print them, we need to use different materials. We call them thermoforming plastic sheets. It's the actual aligner that obviously has to have desired traits, which is not part of the, you know, the talk right now. And this is our very proud to say, our last, you know, tool that we're using. It was the first office in Greece that we got the actual robotic arm to trim it. So what it does is kind of unloads all my staff that they have been working in the lab, trimming all those aligners. And now we can use the robotic arm to kind of streamline the process, make it easier. It doesn't only have to do with return on investment. I'm not sure, you know, when I'm going to have that pretty much evened out, but it was a very nice addition to the workflow. So it can be more streamlined, it can be more automatic. And we were actually playing with that during the pandemic because we had more time. So very, 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 very smooth. And you just have the final material in the final aligner in less than a minute. So pretty cool. What we're looking for, and I was at the last orthodontic meeting talking and listening to, you know, the next, you know, kit on the block, which is the directly printed aligners. So we won't have to print the cast. We're going to print the actual aligner, which will be, obviously, will have less waste production, and ecology is a big issue, right? We are trying to recycle a lot of things, but it will be nice. We can skip a step and be more, you know, ecologically friendly. Obviously the material has to be biocompatible. Cost is right now not affordable for a practice. It's good just, you know, to experiment. Post-printing processing is quite intricate right now. Properties are not so far ideal. So we're looking forward to the next step. Before sharing a clinical case with you, because I'm a clinician, I just wanted to say that we can incorporate technology, but the science should be there, right? So technology doesn't solve our problems. You have to obviously do good treatment planning and good diagnosing. Have to know your bad mechanics for aligner treatment, which is different compared to braces to fix appliances. Our patients have to be compliant. The clinician can decide which components of the workflow wants to incorporate in the practice. So you can have a 3D printer and not make your aligners afterwards. You can delegate to an outside lab. We need to involve our staff, obviously, and be patient with a learning curve as long as we like what we do. On the other hand, we do have full control of the process. So I do the design and the manufacturing in my office. I don't have to, you know, send to a company. We can be competitive. It's very speedy. So I can pretty much print and give the aligners to the patient even the same day. We can customize a number of aligners and maybe scale from mild to moderate and to complicated cases to build up our confidence in the method after following, you know, all those footsteps that I'm saying. So it's the health issue, the design issue, and obviously the manufacturing issue. So jumping to the case, so my speakers, the other speakers, co-speakers can follow up. So this is a patient of a single mom. You know, I live in a comparatively small city, so we're almost all, we know each other. So she came to me and she's like, he cannot bite. He has a functional issue. He has a deep bite. So he traumatizes his gums here. And he was retrognathic. And I want to do the best for him, but I couldn't afford it. So I told the mom, you know what, we'll try to do my best, give an optimal result and try to squeeze, you know, the cost and let's see how it goes. So the patient was super compliant. And what I saw is not 3D printer. That's a conventional appliance. So I'm doing a hybrid kind of approach. So I'm using something that was used even decades ago, a functional appliance to get the mandible forward just for 12 months. So I have a happy patient. And after I'm done with the most complicated part, which is improving his skeletal problem, I'm kind of stuck with the dental issue. So a couple of years ago, I would have to put braces, which is more expensive, or ask for aligners from an outsourced lab, which is also expensive. So I said, no, we're going to print out our aligners after taking my records. And this is the malocclusion just before we started. So this is the software, and this is obviously a very, very easy case. So it's just 7 sets of aligners switching in 10 days. And this is the software that allows me to move teeth in stages. And pretty much in less than a year, he's done. And I was surprised because he was done with just 2 removable appliances, conventional ones, and 7 set of aligners, which is very cost effective. And I was able to offer a great difficult treatment to a patient that the mother was struggling to offer the best for him. So that was a happy moment for both me and my patient. And always nice to see how kids grow and have a better smile and more confidence with orthodontic treatment. And obviously a lot more difficult cases can be treated in office if the doctor feels comfortable doing it. So my take home message for not only for orthodontists, but for anyone who's into innovation is take a step-by-step approach and give yourself time to learn. And again, be grateful for what's out there for free to share. And this is a very, very interesting journey for me. Actually, I don't get bored because I keep learning. Before thanking you for your kind attention and opening the QA session, I wanted to share, this is from Philip II, Alexander the Great's father, from his tomb, which is very close to my hometown. And this is a masterpiece, right? This is a handmade artifact. So this is not obviously 3D printed, but I had it as my final slide because what I want to say is technology, and artificial intelligence here to stay. But it's a nice thing if we can combine it with human resources and also being very ethical about treating our patients if we're physicians. So that's concluding my presentation, and we'll stop sharing so we can start the Q&A.
Okay, we have one person who entered 5 questions, but let's stop. I mean, there are good questions, and Ahmad, I think he's like a founder of a startup, so that's awesome. But let me just start with a couple of things that you mentioned. Just one question from me is, we have Smile Direct Club, we have Align Technology, we have now Impress, which will speak soon from Dr. Kasim. And then a bunch of people like you, orthodontists who want to do it at chairside. How do you compare the quality? Obviously there is a trade-off of price as well. A significant increase in price, especially with Align Technology. So how do you discuss these options with your patients?
With patients, right. So I would say there's a cutoff point of malocclusion, which means that if something is very, very complicated and I need to print, let's say, 70 pairs of aligners, that's it. That is not really cost effective to print in-house, to print in office. So I would rather do it outsourcing it. The patient knows, or I might even propose that they can use braces instead of aligners if that's too expensive. But if it's something very complicated, or if the patient is abroad, which means that I have to provide the whole treatment, let's say for a year, and maybe have to monitor, it's more predictable to use a more advanced software, like, as you said, Align or different other companies. But if it's a more moderate case, and if I can monitor the patient more often, so if I can see the patient, let's say, every 2 to 3 months, so I can pretty much evaluate and again, scan again, and then provide more aligners. Because if I print all the aligners and the patient is not as cooperative as I expected, then we just have to throw all the aligners. With big manufacturers, you know, you tell them, you know, there's a down payment because I'll have to pay for that invoice. So they might be more committed into a more complicated case. So to me, from a practical standpoint, I take a look at the complexity of the case. If it's too complicated, it's not that I cannot do it in office, but it's about the same cost-wise. Mm-hmm. So I might ask the patient that, yeah, you can use a bigger manufacturer or give them the choice if they want to come more often and scan them and print in stages.
Awesome. Thank you. I just remember that when I started my 3D printing journey 6-7 years ago, actually one of my good friends is actually orthodontist, and one of her dreams is actually replace Align Technologies, you know, her ambition.
Wow.
And it didn't happen with her practice, but finally I'm seeing someone is doing it. I'm pretty sure more people are doing it based on today's webinar. So let's go to Ahmad's question. He is asking, what are the rate of models or cases per month for your practice?
Do you have right, meaning, I guess, the number, right?
Yeah.
Number of models. So I guess it depends, right? And as I said, Greece is a kind of a different ball game. So now we're having elections, so people are kind of scared every time we have. So I would say we might be able to print a lot around 30 to 40 aligners per day, or even more. So I might have quite a few, let's say, patients that might come with relapse, which is fewer aligners. But if I have a full case, I might have to print for just one patient 30 pairs of aligners in one day. So I'm not really.
He probably wanted a range. I mean, there's no set. So I think you kind of answer the next question is: do you print the whole case or you just print, you know, whenever the patient needs it?
I won't print for every month. I would mostly print up to 3 months. Because it's not also very practical for the practice to have the patient and for the patient to come every month to scan and print and scan and print, because it's not only scan, it's also the design behind it. You have to move the teeth. But even if I have the whole case, let's say I have a case now for 9 months, but I have designed it for the whole 9 months, but I'm printing the first three, checking if the patient is compliant. And then we don't have to design it again. I'll print the next 3 months and we go on from that on. And that's based on my experience, not something scientific, right? It's practical.
Yeah, the patient compliance part is apparently very challenging, according to my friends.
It is. And you cannot predict right away. They know that it's in their favor, obviously. And most of the patients are very compliant because it's also very aesthetic. So it doesn't bother them. They can wear it almost full time.
Yeah, right. Okay, another question. Are the design services companies, I'm not sure exactly this is what he meant, but it says, would this allow, you know, general practitioners to make aligners in-house as well, just like you do?
Well, that's up to them. If they feel they're competent, it's not, the problem is not printing. I mean, you can learn how to print, right? Or you cannot. That doesn't have to be a dentist or an orthodontist. It has to do with if you like the technology and if you understand it. The problem is the treatment planning. And that's why there's a 3-year specialty program to be an orthodontist. So I, to tell you the truth, I don't feel comfortable if I was to be treated by a non-specialist, but they're entitled by law to do it. So if somebody feels that they are up to it and that they can finish the case nicely, functionally and aesthetically, yes, obviously they can use the whole process and do an in-office aligner system for sure.
Right. And especially if you're in a small town, like you said, right, there's nobody else doing it. So we have to find some kind of dental practitioners. Mm-hmm. And dentists, and actually, you know, Align Technologies tool is getting easier to use. I think general practitioners can use it. I think that's the their goal, at least.
Oh, yes, because we are, as clinicians, once you scan, you are actually feeding them data. So you are helping the algorithm get better, which was kind of scary. So that's what I said. I'm using my knowledge now, and I'm treating my own patients in office. But that's a trend that is not going to change big manufacturers, because obviously it's an industry, right? I'm just saying there is another option, and
we have quite a few other options here on this panel, especially Ian has a AI enabled digital process that I think people would be interested in look at. But we have, you know, a few more questions on this list, Yona. If you want to type in your answer, please feel free, but I have to move on. Thank you so much for this excellent presentation. Gino, you want to come on stage? And then we'll go to Dr. Mandanka. So Gino is the lead for dental 3D printing at HP, who is our sponsor. He wants to have a few minutes just to share his work there.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Can you hear me well?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I'll keep it very short. So good morning and good afternoon to everybody. Thank you very much for connecting. And thank you again, Jenny, for organizing this great event. And it's really a great pleasure to sit down with such a fantastic panel. I mean, I've been over 5 years in additive now and 2 years in more focus on orthodontics. And I feel very small being surrounded with such experts in this call today. So really interesting presentation from Dr. Johanna as well. Looking forward to the rest of the presentations. Maybe a quick introduction from my side, and I'll point out very shortly what we do as work in our end. So my name is Gino Balistrieri. I joined HP 5 years ago, actually initially as a global product manager focused on high volume production. How can we scale additive further, and what are the barriers across different verticals? And as you know very well, I think most in the call here, that, you know, high volume production and dental go very well hand in hand. I mean, it just makes a lot of sense from many different aspects, including the personalization side. So I had a great mentor with over 25 years of experience and retired now, that helped me ramp up on the orthodontics. And I'm also pointing it out because I believe he's connected to the call as well. So if you're there, Lee, good morning to you. So since then, I've been working closely with aligner customers across the globe, and at HP in the field of orthodontics, we are very focused on high volume production for the aligner models. And we are unique in the way that we have a scalable solution that is powder based. And that actually, if I need to point out just one specific element of the work we are doing, that gives us the unique ability to actually fully recycle the waste streams from aligner production. And of course, if you go to scale, that becomes a serious issue. So if I just share my screen very quickly, hoping you can see my screen here. So we've really focused on that end, because we see there's a big problem. If you start printing, of course, if you print 10, 20, 50 models, it's not really a big issue. But when you go to hundreds, thousands, 10,000, or even millions of parts per year, this becomes a massive waste stream, both in resin or powder, and of course in the models itself, right? Because you use them only once and then you throw them away. So we're putting a lot of focus there on that end and how we can recycle that. So we have different programs with different customers where we are basically recycling all the waste streams. We have even partners that actually buy it back from you. So it's because at the end it's value, right? So what they're doing is basically buying back all the models, buying back the powder, actually pelletize them, grind them, pelletize them for injection molding, and then use them in another manufacturing process, right? So kind of working on this closed loop system. We see it very, very important in other industries, actually. So in my past experience in cosmetics, for example, if you don't have anything in sustainability, you can't even enter the room. And dental seems to have been a bit slower in medical in general, but we see it coming as well. And of course, aligner customers at the end, the end users are generally very young, 20s, 30s, teenagers that care more and more about sustainability, right? So for us, it's HP, it's a corporate strategy, it's very important, but also personally, to be honest, it's a very important reason why I'm here. Just one more slide to show like one example, right? So we actually partnered with different companies, Smile Direct, Ford, Laverne, which is a tier one from Ford. Actually in 21 already started using recycled dental molds into fuel line clips. So for the F-250, so the F-250s that are out there, they generally have these fuel line clips that are actually used from powders and models that that were used for liner manufacturing. So that's a little bit the work that we're doing. So I would say I'm not an expert in the front end. I know a thing or two about the aligner manufacturing side, right, at scale, but I'll leave the clinical aspect to different people that joined here, including Dr. Khaled Kassem, of course, who is one of our customers as well. So looking forward to the rest of the presentations.
Thank you, Gina, especially for the sustainability talk, because, you know, we don't want these to end up in the bottom of the ocean all the time. I always wonder about that question. So I'm glad that you guys are doing it. And so our next speaker is Professor Madanka at Virginia Commonwealth University. He teaches general practice. So his goal looks like Gustavo wants to, enable general practitioners to do 3D printing.
Hello, can you hear me?
Excellent, yes.
Good. All right, so yeah, thank you very much, Jenny, for the invitation, for organizing this. It's a very interesting topic with different people focused on different specialties. I'll be more focused on the restorative part of the use of 3D printing. As a prosthodontist and a general practitioner, we do a lot of the restoration part and work with implants and temporary prosthesis with 3D printing becomes very, very helpful for all of those aspects. The orthodontic part, something that I'm partially aware of. I mean, we did some interest research on that topic, but as the experts already talked about, I mean, this is another different part of the process, but it's all very interesting to learn and to know about it. So I'll be focused more on the restorative part of the use of 3D printing. Next. So yeah, as you said, I'm currently at VCU. Formerly I was at UNC, and when I got heavily involved with 3D printing was at University of Michigan Dental School, where they start the program there. We start teaching to the dental students, and we use heavily in the specialty clinics to make surgical guides and entering restoration. Here at VCU, we're using even more. We're doing the immediate dentures using 3D printing, and we're using CAD/CAM to fabricate almost 100% of our crowns. We are milling the final restoration, but we sometimes can print the temporaries, and we are milling our final dentures as well, but they could be printed, just the materials are a little different. I'm originally from Brazil, and I do talk about this topic here in the US. I talk in Brazil too sometimes, as they have several meetings going on that topic right now. So application for 3D printing has been evolving tremendously. I think the most recent ones that are being more clinically applicable are the ones for aligners, when you can print the aligner itself. I mean, it's slowly start to pick up, as you already mentioned, and something more on the long-term characteristics of crown. So ceramic-like material that can be easily printed. We can print zirconia, we can print long-term material, but the printers for that are bulky and expensive. But when they become available on the small desktop printer, that's when it becomes more mainstream in clinical practice. As all the technology, 3D printing has a evolving part when it gets available to more people, and that becomes it's mostly based on when they are being taught that in their dental education training. Right now, I mean, we skipped the I think we are jumping to the middle part of the bell curve, where it's not being taught as the normal or the main part of the dental school education. But we see, especially in the US, more and more dental schools at least exposing the students to the process. And by the time that trend changed where the students are using heavily in their dental training, then it becomes used by the early to the late majority of the people practicing. I mean, right now, most of the people that use, as we already said, they learn from colleagues, they learn from alternative sources because there is no major textbooks. And so we learn from each other, we learn from conference. So we are on the early adopters where we like the technology and want to make it work. And then the companies see that and they make more things available and things start to move faster. But as the next generation of dental students graduate and they become faculty and they learn in dental school, then it becomes more of the mainstream in the daily practice. And eventually that will become again what we know from the beginning. And as I said, the technology is evolving and you see a variety of printers. We are focusing mostly on the liquid resins to do most of the work because they are the most affordable, easier to use and good quality. But there are other technologies that gives us very good products as well. This one here, you see there is a person standing next to a printer. This is a zirconia printer, as big as a car, and it can print zirconia. But again, that was gonna cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy one. So companies can have it to make, maybe do prototyping and do some of their work to provide to the doctor, but it's not even a dental lab. It may take a while before they can have something like this when it gets a little smaller. This one here, it's also a printer that can do zirconia. And recently they are also presenting that they can do lithium disilicate ceramics. So it's coming to take over on the milling machines, except that the price right now is still a little prohibitive and the time to print one lithium disilicate crown is going to be a lot more than when you mill one in that aspect. But all those cheaper, low-cost desktop printers are very common in dental practice now when the doctor is already engaged in the technology, and they can cost from $300 when you buy some of them from Amazon to $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 if you buy something more certified and more calibrated for dental use. I mean, you can buy cheaper and you go through the learning curve and spending time calibrating the printer to the material you use, or you can buy something more expensive and save the time on that process. It's up to what we're doing. And the materials have evolved as well quite a lot. I mean, we first start with models and then surgical guides, which was kind of the initial material that we were able to print for dental use, and also some of the casting wax-like materials. Eventually, they start doing temporary crowns, the indirect bracket bonding trays, and then we switch to immediate dentures, temporary dentures. Think about permanent denture, but the material still a little bit new for that aspect, at least on my opinion. Some flexible resin that gives the soft tissue appearance. More recently, they came with crown resins marked as final restorations, but still too early to say because having a huge resin component in the material may not be as long term as we have a full ceramic restoration. But then we have more ceramic high strength resin that we're using for full art restorations, temporaries, color models that using the Stratasys technology of jet fusion or applying powder, thin powder to that you can tweak color and strength at the same time, which is very interesting, of course. And printing zirconia, full art restoration zirconia that you could print, it's very promising. But as I said, this is the newest part of the technology along with the aligners, and that may take a little time before it becomes the traditional process for us. But the dentures are evolving quite fast. I mean, when we do a denture the conventional digital way, we have to print the base one color, the tooth in another color, and glue them together with the same resin, which is okay. But all the teeth will be one color, all the pink part will be one color, and you can characterize later, but it's extra steps. Stratasys has recently launched the latest 3D printer, which allow on this big plate, like a waiter plate, you can print a denture or several dentures the same amount of time, and you can actually customize the denture to have different colors or shades for different teeth, have the gingiva with a more natural look without having to do custom painting as we do nowadays. This is after printing, before you remove the supports, the way the system works. And then this is some of the final products that I saw at Lab Day in Chicago a couple months ago. So there are different technologies that are used in different ways, depending on what you need. But most of the 3D printing for dental stays on the SLA DOP technology, although the jet binding polymers are becoming also very traditional. And there is metal 3D printing, but it's also expensive. We don't see that many in the dental labs yet. Here showing a few cases, how we use the workflow in the clinical restorative practice. In this case here, we scan the patient. We use, in this case, the TreeShape software. We put the case on in this case, in the software for the occlusal guard. It takes us 5 minutes to have the patient scan, read in the software. I'm not even taking art with alginate if I'm doing that conventionally, let alone mounting the articulator. I'll spend at least an hour from taking the impression, putting the model, get it read, and mounting the articulator and everything. And digitally, that's done in 5 minutes or so. Then the occlusal appliance can be designed, and that also take a few minutes. And the more you do, the practice makes the process a lot faster. It may take 20 minutes the first one. You'll be doing this much quicker on the second, third. And nowadays, the companies even offer you some of the automate tools that for $10 or even less or more, depending on how fast you want it back, it can be designed all using AI, and then you just approve, get it back, and go to production. So you're saving the software, you are paying the price for paper use with these technologies. The guide was printed. In this case, we use a sprint ray. We put in triangulation because we were experimenting. It take about an hour to print or less, depending on how much layer thickness you're using. It comes out of the printer, you wash, you verify, you see that in this one of them failed, but all the three were the same. We're just playing around as we're putting the new printer to work. And here is the wash and cure, so that facilitates the process as well. So you have less resin dripping around when you are moving between stations. And then it goes to the post-cure, finishing, and then delivering and trying in the patient's mouth. As you see, and you can adjust all the parameters. I mean, this one looks like a big open, but the patient has a steep bite, and that was necessary to keep the 1 millimeter thickness in the back. Here in another case, patient originally presented like this. She had a class 3 occlusion, a prognathic jaw, and she had implants planned and placed. It was going to be like a removal partial denture holding the implants. But by the time we got to the restorative part, we explained to her that the way her bite is not ideal. We did a virtual WhatsApp to show her how we could correct her bite. And using that, we made a model. We add some resin to the teeth to give her the idea of the shape before even cutting anything. I can easily take that off if I need to, but so she could see and understand. And we also put the teeth in the back so she can understand the idea of the curve we're trying to build. And then we printed the temporary partials based on that design. We could see
that without her changing the back teeth or the front teeth, that would be a little challenge to give her a nice aesthetic result. Then after seeing all that, she agreed with the treatment to progress the way we envision. That's how her temporaries look like now, correcting her bite with the partial in the back. And that's how she finished the treatment with the upper. Eventually we did the implants in the lower to restore the bottom teeth as well. We use the 3D printing, as I mentioned at the beginning, for surgical guides, 3D printing guides. It's a very effective way to use the technology. It's fast, it's quick, and it gives a much more reliable implant placement. We did several research on the accuracy. We know that the placing the implant with the guide is never going to be 100%. And well, never say never, but at this point, it's not going to be 100% because there is small variations from the printing, from the planning, to putting the guide in the mouth, steering the guide properly. I mean, those all variations can happen, but they are much more precise than when we do it free-handed without having a guide to orient us. The guides can be more precise, but the more with more precision come less flexibility. There is a system that has like a two-pronged system that there is a two sides on the handpiece. They lock into the guide, so that prevents rotation in most directions, which we see with the circular sleeve. But the guide becomes a lot tighter, and just moving up and down becomes a little bit more difficult. So it was a more precise system, as our research saw, but it can also lead to more complications as the learning process go in this. And some more clinical cases here, patient had a tooth to be extracted. Even before placing the implant, using all the technology, we can plan the placement, we can make the surgical guide. The software allows us to take this file into the crown design software, and as if I already had placed the implant even before placing, I can make a crown that can be as close enough to the final implant placement, and to facilitate my chairside procedure of converting that crown as a screw retaining restraint, because right now the implant hasn't been placed yet, so I need to pick up in the mouth. I can make a guide that fits right in there, and that will lock my crown in position as I'm capturing that during surgery. So, and the surgical guide was printed as well. The surgery being done through the guide, implant placed through the guide, and then the crown can be picked up with that little positioning jig. So after we hollow the crown to fit through the implant, through the cylinder as we need, we position the crown on the guide, and then we use resin to connect them. On the other hand, I can also take a scan right after placing the implant. And if I have a fast printer, I can print a temporary crown like that in 15 minutes as well. So it could be then I don't not even have to do that pickup part. We haven't done that way because we didn't have a printer fast enough, but now that we have the new sprint ray, we can actually do that. In another case, we can slowly customize and work with soft tissue. In this case, here, patient had three implants placed first. The fourth one would be done later after size lift. She was congenitally missing all her premolars, and the implants were quite deep. So without going from a healing abutment that's very narrow to a large crown that's going to be very painful to put in, we scanned the patient after the implants were placed, and we start to slowly create the contour of the crown to start to work with the soft tissue. So I can do that very, you know, one new crown every week, every couple weeks, every month. If I need to, in this case, I only did it twice because I was able to form the tissue that much faster. But I can print a new crown every time, and printing those crowns are relatively cheap if I have the printer in option. It's gonna cost you about a few dollars worth of material. So it's much easier than spending time adding resin to the crown and all the mess that comes with it. And here's just showing one of the crowns when we printed it in a bleach shade or A1 shade, or yeah,
think it was a bleach shade that we had, and then we painted to match the color that we wanted. So we can do all that, even though I only have one color of resin. And for the complex case, they are very, very helpful as well. So we see here the surgical guide we designed. In this case, we're going to have a massive extracting of the teeth, doing the bone reduction. This case was done by our colleague, Dr. Junin Lee. And then we have the guide stacks on each other, and we have one, the prosthesis was also printed, picked up in the mouth. When you do that, we have a risk of fracture because we have a metal coping and a bonding layer, and you have to hollow the space to go through the cylinders. And it broke in a matter of a month or so. At that time, we scanned the patient, and we used the new Onex tough resin from SprintRay that we can actually print directly from the cylinders. Scanning intraorally is not the best approach for full arts. I mean, we get like a 50-50 where it fit, where it doesn't. But in this case, it fit, and we were able to actually do that. Sometimes we have to scan again to get the right fit, but in this case, it was luckily effective. And also the resin is a little bit more flexible than zirconia, so it can accommodate a little bit. So it's all challenging, but it's all evolving very fast. I mean, the main challenges could be training people, cost of equipment, how fast it changes in the ecosystem. But it definitely, it's a very good communication tool. It improves working in the team and doing trial and error before actually try to do something in the patient. And it's very good for educational environment as well. Thank you very much. It's my email if you guys need to reach out to me. This is the team that we have here at VCU. We're missing Alia. She's one of the newest postdocs that came after we took this photo. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Gustavo. Always excited to see what you're working on. And it seems like we have more new services now since the last time we spoke. We have one question.
Oh, yes.
It's Dr. Din. He is heading the 3D printing in a hospital, and he wondered the regulatory process. Do you have to deal with FDA? Do you have to have, I mean, at least I'm assuming you have some kind of quality control on your end internally.
Yeah.
Do you want to just share that process with us?
Yeah, I mean, the resins in the US, the resin is validated with the printer. So, I mean, if you're buying SprintRay, Formlabs, Straumann, all those with the resin that they have validated for their printers. I mean, you follow their protocols, how you, not only how you print, how you clean the parts, how you post-cure. I mean, that covers what we do. Other countries have different regulations. I mean, they allow you to mix and match printers as long as the resin is biocompatible. But in the US, you are more, for safety, you are more locked into following the manufacturer for the resin that you're buying. So you buy an accident resin, they're going to have the validated with their printers or other printers as well. So as long as you follow that, you'll be okay.
Awesome. So we have a little bit time restraint here because a constraint here, because Dr. Kasim needs to leave in a couple of minutes. So I'm going to I'm gonna jump ahead to Dr. Kasim so that he can present with us first. And then we have some more questions or good questions here, and I'll follow up after his presentation, if that's okay with everybody. Okay, so Dr. Kasim, if you can, please join the webinar. You can just click on the button on the bottom and it says webinar. Okay. All right, I just moved you up here. Okay. So Dr. Kasim is the orthodontics lead and also co-founder at Impress. And I have to say, I'm very impressed with your credential and very much look forward to your presentation today. I'm gonna disappear on screen and feel free to take over.
Okay, thank you, Jen. Okay. Sorry, there is a lot of windows here. Apologies. Oops. Okay. Hi, everyone. Thank you for, in the first position, thank you, Jenny, for this invitation. I'm really grateful for this invite. So let me introduce myself. I'm Khaled Qasim. I'm the chief orthodontist of Impress. So my background is medical. I studied dentistry in Jordan, then I moved to Barcelona to do my specialty in orthodontics. Here, I've been working for more than 20 years as an orthodontist, and I was responsible of investigation and research at the Department of Orthodontic at University of Barcelona. I had many publications in many orthodontic and medical journals, like the American Journals of Orthodontics and Orthopedics. And 4 years ago, I co-founded with my two co-founders, Vladimir and Ilyara, Impress. Impress is a hybrid model where we combine all the advantages of all the techniques to make sure that we can improve patient experience. So since the beginning of the first visit, we try to involve all high technology like intraoral scanners, CBCTs, we take photos, and based on this, we can organize or inform an important, a treatment plan. We have our software where we can integrate both CBCT and 3D. In this way, we can form a treatment plan that is safe for our patient because we move teeth inside the bone. Also predictable because we know how to move the teeth. And finally, effective, so we can move the teeth in as fast as we can. Based on this also, we follow up with our patient during all the treatment. So we don't just give the patient the aligners, but we give the patient the aligners, we start the treatment, we, beside the presential follow-up visits, we do this virtual follow-up where we can detect, we can check if the patient has a good oral hygiene, if the patient is cooperative or not, and finally, if there is any problem with the aligners or the mouth of the patient, so we can detect any gingival recession, any inadaptation of the aligners, and based on this, we can make any modification in advance. Thanks to this, we have an amazing evaluation from our patients. So we have an MBS of 84 right now. And our patients are having this amazing journey. So we started to improve our patient journey two years ago when we started to do our to start when we started we to do our manufacturing. So of course we had our own printers, we had our own thermoforming machine and the cutting machine. Our idea was to improve again the patient journey and patient experience. I mean, just imagine the patient comes to the clinic on Monday, and by Friday they can start the treatment. This is a wow effect that we can provide for our patients. So, of course, enough about Impress and about this. And let me, I would just like to talk a little bit about the additive manufacturing in dentistry. So I prepared this as a simple presentation, and I hope you can like it. So Basically, additive manufacturing can be applied in many fields of dentistry. Like the we can create a dental model, we can make dental implants, of course, as everybody knows, the aligners, and even we can print the dental tools. We have different types of materials, as Gino said, that we can use for this manufacturing. So we have resin that can be used for the gum or the veneers. We have polymers to do the crowns and dentures. Metals, of course, like the titanium to do all this chrome cobalt dentures. And finally, ceramics to do the bridges and the crowns over the. So basically, we can have many advantages using this additive manufacturing. First of all, we can have a precise appliances or restorations or models. In this way, we can increase the predictability and the effectiveness of the treatment. Again, we can improve the efficiency by reducing the times, especially when we used to send everything through mail to the laboratories, and all the workflow was way much difficult. So right now, with all this digital workflow, we can improve the efficiency of the manufacturing. Customization, of course, we can create like personalized treatment plan for our patients. And as I mentioned before, we can provide a safe and predictable treatment for them also. And for me, the most important thing is that we can improve patient experience. I mean, patients, they want this new model because, first of all, they are sick of traditional models. We need to move, and especially us dentists and orthodontists, to adapt AI in our practices. And this is because we can provide a better experience for our patients and more satisfaction for them. So as I told you guys, how is the workflow usually? We start scanning and design the treatment plan for our patient. Then we prepare the models, and then and we print them, and then thermoform them, and finally we do the cutting. I believe so far we are having many challenges to accept or to implement manufacturing in dentistry. First of all, cost. I mean, these are an extra cost, especially for the printers, for the software that you are needing to use, and the training also, and this can be expensive. Also, we are having all this ethical concerns concerning the patient privacy and the software, especially some of the software, they are not at the same country where we work. So this is also subject to many concerns. And finally, the integration. Sometimes many clinics or many dental clinics, it's hard for them to integrate this 3D printing because the whole traditional workflow is dominating these clinics. So sometimes it's really important to change this chip. In the future, there are many studies that are showing how we can do the. There are many promising things like the bio printing. So we can produce these printers where we can make living tissues or soft tissues that can improve the patient, I mean, increase the speed of starting with the treatment. Also, the in-house printing, I mean, this is like something that is starting step by step. So many clinics right now, they are having their in-house printing indeed. Also, many materials are entering in this field. So actually now most of us know about this direct printing of clear aligners. There are many aligners that having these extra properties, like changing according to the heat or to the temperature. And finally, we are improving in the 3D scanning. So this is will improve more. I mean, AI is involving more in image recognition. And basically, many machines right now, they can convert even 2D photograph to 3D, which is amazing. I mean, sooner or later, we can, with a mobile device, we can finish do an STL files easily. Oops, sorry. So, in a conclusion, I believe 3D printing technology has a potential to transform the field of dentistry, improving the accuracy, the efficiency, and patient outcomes. But still, as you know, that there is challenges and limitations. And thank you.
Thank you so much. That's a wonderful presentation. If you were to say one thing about IMPRES, how do you, I'm not sure how you should properly pronounce that, IMPRES. What is your competitive advantage over, you know, all of these options we've been talking about?
Sorry, I'm just trying to stop sharing.
Oh, okay. You don't have to worry about that. Okay. Yeah, no, okay. Just, if you have to say one thing about IMPRES, what is your best competitive advantage over other options for the patients?
But you're talking about patient-wise competitive advantages.
Right.
Yeah.
Just over other ways of doing it.
I believe, first of all, the full integration, the vertical integration of our all the processes in our clinics, in our office, and even in our factory. So we have a good communication between all these setup, and at the same time, involving this software or these integrating all this CBCT scanning, 3D scanning in all our platform, it enables us to look and to deal with the thing faster, as you know, and in a more proper way.
Okay, so save people time a lot more than other options. Exactly. Okay.
I mean, it's not only saving people time more, but I believe also improving the outcome of the treatment and having a better treatment planning, as Dr. Ayuana said before. I mean, the most important thing in the end of the orthodontic treatment is not the plastic, but the planification. So if we have all these AI tools that helps us to provide a good planification, then I believe we start with the best way or the correct way, so we can end it correctly.
Awesome. Yeah, you mentioned AI quite a few times, and we have a question from the audience also talking about, and we have our final speaker is gonna emphasize on that as well. So don't go away, guys. So we have a question from Craig. He says, is AI currently being used for 3D printing, or is this just the future talk? I mean, are you guys actually using it?
Okay, this is really interesting. Actually, a few days I was a speaker and I was talking about AI and how we can involve it in our practices. So basically, one of the aspects that AI is involved in dentistry is robotics. So robotics is part of the AI. Robotics right now, all of us, we know that we have these robots which helps in patients, in assisting patients. We have robots where they can form the arch wires for orthodontics. And even we have robots where we can move or help in optimizing the manufacturing in the factory. So we have like robotic hands, which can move the model from one side to another. I believe AI is involved a lot in manufacturing and it's gonna be the future.
Yeah, I think it's both the future and presence. I mean, we've been using robots. Actually, I think 3D printing is a bit of a robot, you know, if anything is part of automation workflow. Well, thank you very much. I mean, we are kind of running out of time, so we will save some questions after the panel. I hope you can stay, but Dr. Kasson, thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So yeah, I'm gonna introduce our final speaker, which is gonna address exactly the topic we just talked about, which is the AI and 3D printing. Ian, if you can join the stage, that will be awesome. So Ian is the co-founder and CEO of 3D, H3D. Did I say it right, or Hearables?
That's 3D? Correct. We used to be HCD, we used to be Hearables, we're now HCD.
Okay, great, awesome. Are you on screen? Let's see, your camera's on? Okay, there you go. Okay, yeah, the stage is yours and everybody's waiting for your topic here.
Thank you, Jenny. Nice to meet everyone. My name's Ian McLeod. I'm the CEO of HCD. We are a company that specializes in AI. We've developed technology for automating the CAD step. It was discussed in a few speakers there. We have also developed AI for scanning as well, using a mobile phone, but that's mostly for audiology, which is where we originally started off as a company. I'm originally from Scotland. I live in Denmark. I used to work for C-Shape for a number of years, developing impression scanning and CAD software, and I worked for Formlabs for a couple of years as well, bringing the Form 3B printer onto the market, along with some materials for biocompatible materials, mostly for audiology, but some for dentistry. So I've got some experience in this industry. I guess my focus is maybe a bit earlier in the workflow. That's where most of my experience is, to be honest. But to be honest, it's also the big blocker for 3D printing. Printing's very straightforward, fairly easy to use. Scanning's easy to use. There's a CAD step that goes in between all that our company addresses, and I think it's quite important to be aware of the challenges there. So if we look at just a bit of background on HCD, we were originally called Hearables 3D. Our IP is developed back in 2018. Spun out of Swinburne University in Melbourne, Australia. We developed an AI system called AutoDesign. This is our online SaaS software as a service platform for originally designing hearing aids. Basically, you upload scans of people's ears or ear impressions, and then you download the actual hearing aid design for 3D printing. It's a very similar workflow in dental. I would probably say it precedes dental in some ways with the 3D printing. Became the market leader soon thereafter. And we announced our entry into dental earlier this year, hence why we changed the name to HCD. And we've done this in partnership with dental labs. We're a big believer in dental labs. They're businesses about making high quality products. We've partnered with some very highly digital labs that are very experienced in 3D printing, being able to understand what's a good design and a bad design, really, so that we can develop our AI tool as we come onto the market with a solution that works very well. So of the design itself, as I say, originally we focused on ears and we still continue to do so. It's an AI technology that basically automates the CAD steps. So I saw there was some screenshots of people using CAD software. Ours is a cloud-based solution. You don't need to install anything. You take your scan, whether it's an impression scan or intraoral scan, you upload it onto the platform. You pick what kind of design you want. In this case, we're showing here a splint. You have some settings, you lock that down into template, and then it does all the work for you. It takes a couple of minutes. You download the print file and send it to the printer. Our system is basically optimized to work with labs, and this can also apply to clinics, of course, but labs themselves, they have very high standards. They have very specific on the kind of designs that they expect to do, and each lab has their own design philosophy. It's really important. It really what's make a lab differentiate from another lab in the same region. So there is a lot of uniqueness done even within mass market, mass customization. So this is something that if you have an AI solution, if you're looking to automate something, you have to keep this signature design that the clinic expects, that the lab has built its reputation on. And it's one of the challenges within AI, and not make it a generic AI. As of today, we're processing thousands of cases through our system every day. We are an industrial solution. So what that means is our system's geared for scalability. Basically, you can upload 1,000 cases at one time. You fire it through the system. A couple of minutes later, you get all the designs and you send it off to your 3D printer. And our success rate is around about over 95%. Now that we've been in the industry for a while, some of our customers have started to get some metrics back, some empirical data as to is AI better than manual CAD and so on. It looks to be the case that AI can actually reduce the remake rates. This is a term used specifically in audiology where if a hearing aid doesn't fit, normally you don't find out, or the lab doesn't find out for a couple of months, but as it goes back to the audiologist and back to the lab and find out where the problems are. So what we've begun to find that AI does actually remove some of the inconsistencies that somebody using CAD software day in, day out. So we're pleased to see that. It's a quite a difficult solution to develop. We're very excited about bringing our solution into dental. So as I say, you know, I'm going to try and focus a little bit more on what happens before, because it's where we stem from as a company. But if you look at the challenges in dentistry, additive manufacturing dentistry, basically it's a big portfolio of products. In audiology, you've got basically 3-4 unique kind of designs, but with variants upon it. In dentistry, you've got basically a large open road ahead. Some of these designs are quite complex. Really what's quite good in a way though, is that the printing technology is fairly evolved. So printing hardware has been around for 20 years, 25 years, at least in audiology. Printers have become more affordable. The quality that's produced is superb. The price has dropped. So in terms of a hardware perspective, you know, it's almost what's your balance over speed over price and so on. One of the challenges, of course, and it's been mentioned before, is the material development. There's new materials being developed for crowns as ceramics inside it. Of course, the dream goes to direct print aligners and so on. So there's a lot of work being done in the resins that basically opens up more opportunities to implement in the digital workflow. So from our perspective, as we look a little bit before the printing, you know, our challenge is to how do we automate all these kind of appliances, indications and so on? What do we need to take into account regarding the 3D printing requirements, the materials? So it's quite a complex area, the CAD part. You know, when you get that design, there's a lot of work has been put into that. But for us, and I think for the industry, it's evolving. And I think there's a lot of scope for growth still within 3D printing. If you look at what a digital workflow is, and we all generally know the terminology, but you know, this it does impact how 3D printing is used, at least from our perspective. So the traditional way or the old school way is basically you take a mold, an impression, you post that to a lab, and they go through the old traditional process. There's quite a big market out there. It's maybe within some regions, it's still heavily used, but definitely there's a shift to CAD-CAM. It's much more effective, it's much more scalable. In many cases, it's a lot more affordable. Then there's the hybrid process, which was maybe around about 10 years ago, 8 years ago, where you would still take impressions, but then that was posted to the lab. The lab would use an impression scanner and then start the digital process from there. They would then load it into CAD software, and then once it's been designed, you would mill or you'd print it. And that's quite a high market share. There's a lot of labs and a lot of workflows following this. That's somewhat declining because of the trust in intraoral scanning. Intraoral scanning has been a big driver for the digital workflow in many ways. Intraoral scanning has become more affordable, just like the printing. It's quite easy to use. It doesn't take too much training, and the accuracies are really impressive. So it started to shift more where scanning is done within the clinic, and that scan gets digitally sent into the lab to then do the CAD design and to use the printers. That's a growing area that we're finding. Basically, as I say, the trust in intraoral scanning is growing. It adds new capabilities for, such as color, for shading, for crowns and so on. So that's probably the most prevalent, or certainly the highest growth. And then of course you have the full chairside solution where everything's done within the clinic. There's a long way to go for that. There's sort of costs, there's quite a lot of capital expenditure, there's many bottlenecks when you're trying to do that yourself, mostly in the CAD step here, but also in terms of capabilities of post-processing and so on, and whether you want to invest in all that equipment for small clinics who don't do high volume. They can rely upon a lab that relies upon high quality products there. So these are basically the four digital workflows that we've defined. And most of the industry is currently moving from number two hybrid to number three digital. And of course, there has benefits of that. Just going to dive a little bit deeper into the digital workflow and why that is a bit of a bottleneck on 3D printing still today. So if we look at this flow here, we have in the clinic, you take the mold. This is the traditional way of doing it. I've also put in here how it works in the audiology, just to highlight that it's a very similar process of impression, materials, printers. It's pretty much the same equipment. You scan it in a 3D scanner. That's typically done in the clinic. Or if you're doing an intraoral scanning, then these are obviously combined into one step. After that, then CAD software is used to actually then design the indication or the appliance. Skilled technicians are used there. It can take some time. Some people can also do it within the clinic, but there's a certain skill set that needs to be done and time allocated towards doing that. And then, of course, there's a CAM part. When you're using a 3D printer, you print in the lab. And then that's then sent back to the clinic to fit. So our focus here at the moment is on this step here. Now, the reason why this is a bottleneck for 3D printing is labs and trying to use digital printing more in digital dentistry is, as I say, scanning is very easy. There are very sophisticated scanners out there. Printing is very easy. working with resins, you've got a post-processing step that can be a bit messy with IPA and so on, but it's fairly easy workflow to follow. However, as you start to scan and send orders into your own production or into a lab, there becomes this tight bottleneck where you're having to rely upon skilled people to use CAD software. And this CAD software is actually becoming easier to use. There's really good CAD software out there today. It's also getting more complicated to use as well, with some of the features and some of the new ways of manufacturing. The challenges within CAD itself is it's really hard to find skilled CAD technicians. Sometimes if you're trying to design a crane, you've got the human error in there. You know, you have good days and bad days at work. And if you're designing, you know, 20, 40 cranes a day, you've got to keep that consistency up. CAD technicians is quite a relatively high cost. They're one of the most expensive people in a digital production lab. A crane can only take about 5-10 minutes to design. So the tools are out there to make it quite quick, to remove that bottleneck. They're fairly straightforward. But if you're looking to design a splint, say within your own clinic, or you're looking to design splints in your own lab, then you've got to maybe set aside about 25 minutes per design. So it doesn't take too long to start receiving orders in there where the printers are not being used to the maximum capacity. You know, there's an investment done in printing. These machines are designed to work reliable at high volume. And, you know, you're losing out if suddenly you're getting a sort of a queue building up in the step beforehand. So, you know, what we're finding is there's a definite growth in digital dentistry. Everything's happening sooner in the workflow. It's getting digitized sooner in the workflow. People are excited about being scanned. It's much more engaging than having impressions taken. So one of the issues, though, is that there is a growing volume of orders or cases coming into the system. But because it takes around about 6 months to 2 years to train somebody to use CAD software properly, to cover all the kind of variations and so on, it's really hard to scale this as a business, as a workflow. If suddenly a lab or a clinic that had a digital system in place, you know, imagine if they got 100 people turn up, that they had to do 100 orders. It's something has to give. Normally, it's either the speed gives and therefore the quality drops, or the lead time, the turnaround time gives, and therefore everybody waits longer, because it's not something that you can just rush out and hire a CAD technician. It's something that you have to plan in advance, do the investment in, and so on. So, as I say, with the digital workflow itself, the printers are very capable. The resins are being developed at a high speed at IDS. There was some really interesting direct print resins coming on the market. There is one area that I think that's sometimes a bit overlooked is the CAD step. Without doing the CAD, you don't really get to print too fast, or it's one of the major challenges. So just to sort of recap where I see the market and where, you know, coming from a little bit earlier than the printing world is, you know, there's a large range of products out there within the market. They all have their different growth rates, pool for the market to fill, but the problem you've got there is the complexity that needs to be done to use those printers, and is the actual complexity of actually then printing them, because all this goes down to how fast and how much this can scale. If you're doing an investment in 3D printing technology, if you want to bring this into yourself and do this as part of your own workflow. Interesting enough, though, the 3D printing trend is generally growing across the mall. I mean, you've got milling machines that can produce, you know, really nice hard materials. But as I say, there's new resins coming on the market that's beginning to really improve the performance, especially of cranes, whether it's just in the beginning temporary cranes. Dentures as well is a big growing market. We're finding there's a big demand to digitally print dentures, and the CAD process in designing dentures can be quite long. There's many steps that's involved there. So, you know, there's a lot of focus within ourselves and the other CAD suppliers in the market to try and simplify this. And of course, there's some new hardware coming on the market, as you saw earlier on in the slides here from Gino, and also there's some other 3D printing technologies. Clear aligners, of course, is a big interest area. That's very much a resin challenge, I think, at the moment. But there is tools that's been developed to basically do the planning and then generate the models. So there's quite a lot of work to be done ahead there, but obviously it's a massive market. Occlusional guards or splints, that's a very interesting product area to try and simplify within digital printing. It's maybe a smaller market than it should be, because typically the effort involved in designing splints and so on, as I say, it can take 20 to 30 minutes to design a splint. So that's quite a big investment for a lab to start taking on splint orders. What we actually find is some of the labs like to keep these kind of designs to the end of the day because they're quite heavy on the workload. So by removing the effort involved to design splints, it does allow labs and dentists to offer that to patients, either because it's simplified to make them cheaper for the patient or to have a faster turnaround time. So for example, occlusional guards, it's basically lagging to where it should be in the market, we feel. And finally, yes, we have models. It's a very high volume kind of product. They're heavily used in 3D printing. Over 60% of printers used by clinics print models. The rest of these indications here, appliances that are typically not printed as often. So models is very much a go-to printing product today. They're fairly easy to design. So from our perspective, I think, you know, as we look a little bit before the printing, you know, there's a scanning is advanced tremendously. The printers, as I say, the pricing, the choice of printers on the market is huge. Resins is evolving at a very, very fast rate, and including the post-processing. It seems like the CAD step, that's slowly improving. I think what could be really interesting is to really enable, you know, in the future, a direct from scanning to printing kind of technology, just to help open up additive manufacturing and dentistry, I think. So yes, thank you. Is there any questions?
Actually, because we're kind of running at the end of the webinar, I'd like to invite all the speakers on stage right now so that we can start doing a panel discussion. Ian, that was an excellent presentation. And I also want to thank the audiences. Stay till the end of this webinar. And, you know, I know this kind of webinar doesn't have Game of Thrones moments. We're really here just to be educated, but I like to have a big reveal. I have a big reveal is that all my life I've had teeth problems because I was born in China and we had tetracycline for kids. And so everybody ended up with tetracycline teeth for those who are understanding what that is. So I've had teeth problems. So all my teeth, every single one of my tooth has been worked on, including my, you know, people in dentistry, they can tell that I have veneers like my throughout my entire mouth. So I have, you know, tooth problem every year, basically. My dentist is quite happy. And he's now using the digital workflow that Ian, you were talking about. And I actually upgraded my dentist from the analog one to the digital one. So now I get scanned. But I'm still waiting for the 3D printing to actually happen. And I think that's one of the questions from the audience as well is, when can average patients like me can actually see 3D printing in my dentist's office at a wider scale and not just the specialists? You know, I have to, you know, travel all the way to Virginia to Gustavo to get my 3D printed surgical guide or something like that, you know? So I think that's a good question to ask everybody, you know, what is your anticipated speed of, I guess, you know, I don't want to use the word commoditization of this technology, but for people who have regular tooth problems, you know, when can we see 3D printing and this whole automated process that Ian, you were talking about to actually benefit us as patients?
Yeah, I would say, you know, 3D printing in the clinic or even at home, you know, that's obviously the dream. But I think, you know, the cost of the printer are extremely affordable, but it's still a bit of an expense, right? I think when I started 20 years ago, 3D Systems Viper was $200,000. So that's obviously came nicely down in price. But I think if you want to do things yourself, as I say, at least from my perspective, I think the CAD part is quite an investment to learn how to use CAD software. You know, just even getting a webinar up and running is quite a technology challenge. So actually having to use 3D cutting and so on, it's I think that's one of the barriers as well. Plus working with IPA, you know, you're working with flammable materials and everything like that. So I think there's a couple of steps that need to be done before it's, you know, a 3D printer is as common as a 2D printer.
Thanks. Dr. Kasim, you have any thought about this? You're muted, by the way.
Actually, 3D printing, as I am seeing many clinics, they started to have their own printers. They print basically models in as an alternative to all this gyps and the normal way. But still, I believe it depends on the quantity of the patients. I'm talking orthodontic wise. I mean, having a printer for one case per month or per week is not economically wise for the dental clinic, because think about all the materials that you are gonna spend, all the time consuming, because you have to, beside the printing the models, you have to thermoform all these models, cut the models, polishing them, and then packaging them. So I believe again, depending on the number of the cases that you have, maybe you can go for this method, or go for a third party provider.
Got it. Economy scale is pretty important.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I think the main limitation is personnel, people trained to do this and using, because I mean, you see the background, we're doing printing dentures, and we are doing this now for the students in our clinics. We print the temporary denture when we have to extract our teeth, and luckily you don't need that, so you won't be seeing that part of technology, hopefully ever in your future. but we need the software, we need the printers, and it can be done in your own office, but it will take time. They also have, you don't have to buy the software, you can also use virtual cloud-based software to do that design. So if the clinician wants to do that step, they can. But luckily the labs are doing that more and more too. So if you find the right dental lab, you can send a case and they can fabricate this for you. It's very time-saving. The same thing with the occlusal guard, the bite splint, we take an hour and a half to get ready to make it conventionally. If a patient needs to have teeth extracted and place a denture, I can scan that patient in 5 minutes and then it's ready to go to production after, you know, design and everything. When, if I try to take an impression when your teeth are all wobbling around, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be scary because you are risking get the teeth out before you're even planning to do anything. Plus it takes much more time. So, but it's coming. With the other things, I mean, I think you see when you do an aligner, I mean, that's almost daily practice for many people, but
it's coming slowly as again, as we are training more students to do that, they will do this more often.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know, you have any thoughts about this?
Yeah, I would add probably a question back is do clinicians really would want to also spend time on it? Because there's a lot of innovations, there's a lot of, let's say, speed ongoing in the market, but do they really want to spend time on the printing side, right? At least in my experience so far, talking with orthodontists, with dentists, and people here, correct me if I'm wrong, but in most cases, they rather, you know, focus fully on spending on patient, reducing the chair time, etc., not really bother on kind of the 3D printing side of it, and rather have experts do it. And there's many labs out there, there's many aligner providers, there's many, you know, many, let's say, provider specific applications, there may be some convergence, right, and a number of players, economies of scale, and etc. But I do see still the trend of people wanting to have an expert out there and not necessarily bother them by themselves in the clinics.
Yeah, you mentioned something very interesting, because yesterday I dug up an article that was published by Guardian, the insurance company, dental insurance, in 2021, and they did a survey on all the dentists to see if they want to buy new equipments. And about 50% said, no, they're not going to buy anything because the pandemic has put a dent on the economy, low labor, you know, no talents. So on the other hand, though, me as a personal, you know, personal experience, I've got a couple crowns in, and every time I have to wait for the crown for like 2 weeks to get the crown actually coming back. You know, if I can, as a patient, I would definitely, okay, if anybody here who is a dentist practicing in San Francisco who can get the crown in less than what I just said, preferably a couple of days, I would sign up no time as a patient. I will upgrade my dentist from the digital workflow to the automated workflow. That's patient's preference. So it hasn't, I guess it hasn't trickled down to that level yet, but when the cost of time and expense of equipment is going down as everybody is working hard towards, I believe maybe that day, I'm just wondering when that day is going to come, you know, because every day I have some problem. As a patient, I'm like,
yeah. When we print a crown, I still don't think it's as fine as a ceramic would be when we mill. Right. The milling machine is on the 20,000 to 30,000, 40,000 dollars. So it's a much more expensive to buy as a printer that costs 10, 15 in the whole package. And also there is all the time and things involved. But definitely you can find in San Francisco a doctor that has the whole CAD/CAM milling system in their office. But people that does that is because they like it. They like the technology. They like to do the lab part of the work, as they like to do the dental tech part, as they like to do the clinical. And here in our school, we are one of the few that we offer this. And we have this, we call CAD/CAM clinic, where we do the same visit. We start in the morning. At 9, the patients, the student with the prep, that we mill, then we do milling machine, milling the final crown. And then by 2-3 p.m. we have, and we do about at least 6 to 8 every day. But we only have a few faculty that are comfortable going through the whole workflow to do this. But yeah, and then the students are, as they are trained, they may, oh, I want to buy this because it's something that I want to offer to my patient.
Yeah, absolutely. I start from the future.
But that will come with a price, because the price, the doctor, the crowns will cost more because you are saving a couple of trips, but the doctor has to spend more time with you rather than seeing more patients at the same time. So it's also.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm scheduling a 2-week vacation to Virginia to see you, Gustavo, so you can work on me. Anyways, but thanks for staying to the end. I welcome you to join the booth. And so, you know, maybe we can meet some of the audiences there. So thank you so much, everyone, for speaking at this event. I had a lot of fun and learned a lot. And we're certainly going to share this with everybody. And this on-demand video should be available by the end of today. So, and hope to see you soon. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nice meeting everyone.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
I don't see it in here. Let's see. Oh, Zoom event lobby. Hey, Jenny, how do we go to the booth? Did not leave.
Can you hear me?
At the beach.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
We're trying to go to the booth that you mentioned, but we have no idea how.
It's still recording.
Okay.
Hey, Jenny, how?
Okay, are you guys still in the webinar and not in the booth?
Yeah, we're trying to go to the booth. How do we go there?
Okay, let's see.
We're still on air, I think.